We're going to continue with what we were sharing yesterday. Amen. Because God's word blesses us richly. Hallelujah. God is a too much God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we will go back to the scripture that we were reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Our God is the God of more than enough. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I'm going to cut it short a little bit. You know, we'll start it from the beginning. We know about the vision that the Apostle Paul was involved in. It is believed by Bible scholars that he was the one that he was talking about. But he didn't want to. But if you're looking at it as he's talking, you now see where he says, such a one will I glory, yet of myself I not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire the glory, I should not be a fool, for I say that, because how did he know that the man had things that should not be uttered, that were not lawful to be uttered upon the earth? Amen? All right. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. All right. No, let's back up. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I will not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. It is because of this particular statement here that it is suspected he was the one. Amen? And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hallelujah. And we did say that the word translated infirmities here is the same word in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, where it says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, we know that when we are in situations, praise God, that do not seem to line up with what we know, God comes in, hallelujah, who's already resident in us by his Spirit and causes us to overcome. Hallelujah. He's given us a person. He has given us ability. You know, yesterday, it happens sometimes that when you come to preach, you have butterflies in your tummy and it looks like all your notes don't seem to come together. In fact, it looks as if it still happens to me sometimes. You know, I'm coming up here and it looks like my mind is just blank. Yeah, you prepared, you've done some things, but you seem to look at the notes and it's like, am I actually supposed to preach this? You know? And the Bible said that God is the one that has qualified us, that has made us competent. When the Apostle Paul says something, he said that our competence is not of ourselves. Hallelujah. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And so it is God. All right, let's read it in chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, do we begin again to command ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. This word sufficiency here is synonymous with the same word where he said that my grace is sufficient for you. The sufficiency that we have is of God. Hallelujah. Who has made us, enabled us, he has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah. He has qualified us. He has enabled us, made us competent, equipped us. And all that thing is coming from the grace of God. The Bible says that we need not glory, for if any man receives anything, he received it from God. Hallelujah. But it's in us. This ability is in us. God put it in us. As we pray in the Spirit, we stir up that grace. As we worship, as we go to the Father in thanksgiving, Bible says we should come to the throne of grace that we might obtain grace and mercy, hallelujah, in time of need. What is that? When you're getting into that place, God begins to open up what has been deposited and begins to enable you, gets you to understand who you are, because you're fellowshipping with the greatest teacher in the universe. You're talking to the one who knows it all. Glory be to God. And he begins to talk to us and teach us and tell us what to do when there is confusion, all right? Not that we're ever confused. We have a teacher. The Holy Ghost is inside of us. Where there are things that are uncertain because there are a lot of options and you need to take a decision, you go into the place of prayer and begin to talk to the Father. Because you're hearing so many people saying different things. The Bible said that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And we shouldn't be doing things without talking to God. You shouldn't marry without talking to God. But there was one pastor who chose his wife just plainly because of how she looked. And it wasn't just how she looked. A particular part of her body was what drew him. And he went to minister in a church. But I can't even say what he said. What he even said that God told him was worse than what he said. I mean, I looked at it, I said, I will say it because you may not understand. Hallelujah. I wondered why he talked like that. Marriage is a very serious decision. You must know what you're doing. God will tell you what to do, then you start doing it. Because there are dynamics in life that if God did not send you, this is what I mean. Your life situation as a person can change. If it changes, if it's the right person, both of you will navigate it together. If it's not the right person, they will head for the highway. That's why you have people go through divorce even though they're supposed to be children of God. They said they loved each other before. Then somewhere along the line, They are now saying, look, I don't know this person. Pastor, I must divorce her. I said, why must you divorce her? I thought you said you loved her. He said, no, I made a mistake. But she probably, you know, in Africa, somebody will say she probably put a spell on me, so I didn't see where I was going. So, you know, it's easy to make that kind of excuse. In America, you can't make that kind of excuse. It was the witch in the village who took my destiny and moved me to go and do something. It's easy to say that back there. You can't say it here. When you're saying it, people are going to be looking at you like, are you all right? Hallelujah. So you're supposed to pray about it. The fact that he's a child of God does not mean you marry the person. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You must pray about it. Pray until you know that you know. I once was talking to someone. I know it's not really my subject for today. I was talking to someone and I said to the person, this person you want to marry is not a Christian. How did I know? You know, I say some things to people. I said, if you come to me, I will discern it. If I discern it, I will shoot right through it. Don't bring the person to me. If you bring the person to me, I will discern it. And if I discern it, I will shoot right through. Right there, I will tell both of you. Or I will call you aside who belong to the house of God, and I will tell you. I said, this is what I see, but the decision is yours. And I said, this person is not a Christian. They sent, in those days when we had cassettes, the person sent Praise and Worship on one side and Barry White and all these other slows on the other side. So I said, the devil and the Holy Ghost can't work on the same. This person is not a Christian. Half and half does not work in the kingdom. God is not 80%, the other, another thing, 20%. No, God is 100%. You know, I heard a preacher preaching once, and he said that they tried to get married in church, it didn't work, and so they had to set their sights beyond the church. So they went to get somebody from outside the church world to marry. Don't do it. It may sound nice on TV. Don't do it. It is contrary to the word of God. That you say, but there are a few. You know, there's a movie that came out. I married a church girl. This guy was a drug dealer. All right? That fell in love with a church girl, got married to the girl, changed his life and all of that and became a Christian. Now, that's like 1%. Would you like to do anything that has a 1% success rate? Don't do it. It's contrary to the word of God. And we have not heard the end of the story. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. When it's God, the love continues to grow. Situations may come and go, but you stay. There's something about that relationship that you stay. When it's not God, it will go from one degree of trouble to the next. Until both of you, if you don't take time, will appear before the devil. Because you have not, you know, the reason why it's not good to mix a believer with an unbeliever is that that unbeliever will make you crazy. Eventually, you may come to the point where you are ready to disobey God and not interested in the consequences. That's why it's not good. The Bible says that the lot of the wicked should not rest. It says the arm of the wicked should not rest upon the lot of the righteous. lest the righteous stretch forth his hand unto evil. Do you understand? Yeah. Or they will drive you crazy. And by the time they finish, you hear, that's where you hear a believer say something like this: Pastor, I'm going to leave. If I go to hell, I'm ready to go. Can you imagine when a Christian says that? You know that that guy is gone in his mind. The lesser one is that, Pastor, there's no marriage in heaven. I'm ready to leave her and I'm not ready to marry again. He's a liar. After 5 or 6 weeks of leaving her, then he starts saying, Pastor, we need to pray about this thing so that, you know, after 6 months to 1 year, Pastor, we need to fast and pray. God will forgive us, you know. God is merciful. That fasting and prayer is before you get into it. Don't come to me and say, Pastor, approve divorce. I will not approve it. We will continue to pray and fast. Because I walk by the Holy Ghost, and I've never seen anybody who told me the Holy Ghost told me to divorce him. Never seen. Praise God. If you see that person, you know, bring him to me so that we can discuss. He needs to teach me what I don't know. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah. Now, he has made us sufficient, adequate, competent, made us to, when he said, when he used that word, he meant that he has made us, he means to make us adequate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To make us competent, make us worthy. Glory be to God. And to create satisfaction, to give us ability to function. He gave us this thing in great magnitude. When he gave us this grace, the grace is in great magnitude. Even when it came to sin, he gave us grace so that we are able to overcome whatever that situation is and to set aside the consequence of the sin. Hallelujah. You know, some people backslid and they come back to the Lord. And so they are wondering, does God still accept me the way he accepted me before? That's what I'm talking about right now. His grace is sufficient for you. Say, Pastor, do you really mean that? Yes. You backslid. Yes, you've gone to the world. You messed up and all of that. Don't keep beating yourself over the head. Just come back home. I say, Father, I'm sorry. You don't need to be born again, because you get born again just once. Just like, look at it. Does a man get circumcised twice? No. And that sounds a little gross, but once you're born again, that's it. You don't get born again. If you're getting born again every other year, when any new minister comes with a bigger anointing, you now come out to give your life to Christ. Something's wrong with you. Say, that one was a born again of, I got born again under a smaller anointing. Now I want to get born again under a bigger anointing. Foolishness. It's like you had your bath 5 minutes ago, then you saw a new friend come into town, or maybe just a young man who wants to get married, and he saw a nice girl. He took his bath because he wants to go see her. And then on his way, he saw somebody and said, no, before I see the second person, I need to go take another bath. Something's wrong with you. You are born again once. You don't get born again twice. Then you can rededicate your life if you backslid and you're back to the Lord. How do I get back to the Lord? How do I get back into that place? And especially when they're telling me about my first love, what should I do? His grace is sufficient for you. And his power is made perfect in your incompetence or weakness, your inability to do it. That's where God's power is. Just come as you are, as the prodigal son that you are. Just come back. Just walk back to the house of God. Sit at the back. Yeah, that's okay. Or sit in the middle. Find somewhere to sit. Say, Father, I'm back home. I don't know what you're going to do with me, but I love you, and I'm back here. You know, and I'm not leaving. Forgive me for all that I have done. And listen, by faith, believe that he has forgiven you. Hallelujah. The Bible says, not as, because the church is actually a spiritual hospital. Glory be to God. It's a spiritual hospital. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 5. Can we put it up there? In fact, put 15 first, then 16 next. Verse 15, Romans chapter 5. He said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one sin. It was one sin. He ate the fruit. The Bible does not record that he kept eating it. He ate it once. One sin. To condemnation. But the free gift is of many sins unto justification. That offense there means that if Adam had done it 30 times, which means backsliding, you know? By the time you have gotten to 30 times, you are backsliding. That's backsliding. You know, there's also psychological backsliding, where you are now at home. Anytime they say go to church, you say, I won't go because of COVID. Meanwhile, in your heart of heart, you know that that's not the reason. It's that you don't feel like going. That's psychological backsliding. Sin has not entered yet. Full sin has not entered. You know, God deals with the heart. God is a spirit. He deals with the spirit of man. Hallelujah. So if you're lying, he knows. If you're sincere with yourself, he knows. Praise God. All right. So it's of many offenses unto justification. Glory be to God. And so when you're coming back, understand that this is there. So that you just come to him and say, Father, I'm sorry. I missed it. I messed up. I don't want to continue in that direction. Forgive me and help me. And God will do that. And as soon as you ask him to forgive you, you know, a backslider has many sins. So he may not be able to remember all of them. Just the same way you got born again, act the same way. All the sins, put them in one bag and hand it over to God. And then write it down somewhere, because the devil is going to come and fight you. Write the day you ask God to forgive you. Write it somewhere. Now, what I'm saying right now is not for somebody who is steady to go and backslide and say God will forgive you. You see, people are funny sometimes. Say, Pastor said, we can go if we do anything, we'll come back. No, I didn't say so. All right. First John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. What are you even doing with it? It's not your nature. You're not happy with it. A Christian, genuine child of God, can never be pleased with sin. Never. It will never, because there's no joy in it. You see, what you have experienced is the joy of the Lord. And that joy cannot be found in darkness. That's why the more a seeming Muslim is doing jihad, the more depressed he must become. Because there is no joy in evil. And so, the only thing he can do is to be taking drugs. It is only in Christianity that there is peace and joy and real righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Every other thing you see will not work. There's no joy in it. They may have a mental contentment, condition the soul through meditation and some other things until you come with the gospel. If you preach the gospel, all that thing will scatter because it is light. They're in darkness, but they can't see it. Hallelujah. And so when you come and you receive Jesus into you, I don't know why I'm talking about this right now. Maybe somebody's watching. Now, you receive Jesus into your life, all right, or that you, when you come back into the house of the Lord and you've asked God for forgiveness, believe that he forgives you. This, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, is that what he says? Can you put it there? Put it up. Put it up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, is that what he says? Sins, plural. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. And so, when the backslider comes into the house of God and asks for forgiveness, God forgives you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It is the faithful thing for God to do and the just thing for God to do. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And so we know. He said, I write unto you, little children, verse 12, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. It's forgiven because of Jesus. And so you must not talk about it again. Don't write a book on it. You know, to write a book means you have put a permanent record for the devil to accuse you. God does not want that sin ever mentioned. People should stop writing these useless books that accuse you forever. It's, writing is real, man. You were the one who wrote it. Can you imagine that you're going to court? You're headed to court. And you brought the evidence to convict you. He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Then you wrote a book. You wrote a book on your sin. Ain't that foolish? How many of you understand what I've just said? How many of you don't understand it? Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Which means God does not want to remember it. So don't bring it to remembrance. Bible says, if a man turns away from his iniquity unto righteousness, he said his sin shall be forgiven him, and it shall not be mentioned to him again. And you are writing a book on sin. Is it a testimony? Things that you ought to be ashamed of. You are writing a book. So I'm writing it to help others. If you go through the scriptures, you don't see the Apostle Paul describing how he twisted the neck of that believer, how he locked him up in the inner prison and removed all his nails. He doesn't write that. In fact, he doesn't even write any detail as to whatever he did. It's Luke. It was Luke that wrote it. He only mentioned I persecuted the church. That's all he said and walked away. Otherwise, we would have seen it in the scriptures. Or you don't know that these are books? They are books. I was an armed robber. In fact, the way I robbed, I shot him through the ears. And the bullet came out through the side. And the man died. And the next time I went, I shot him on the right leg. He died. And another one, I went to the house, I strangled him. We don't want to. What? And you write a book. In fact, you can tell it as a testimony in a church somewhere, you know. But that's it. In fact, it suffices to say the person was a murderer and an assassin, or, you know, he was an armed robber. And that's it. In fact, just saying armed robber knows, you know, you were carrying arms, you probably were killing people. That's enough. You don't have to tell us how you killed them, how you raped, how you killed and murdered and, you know, tortured and, you know, and then you write a book. It's unnecessary. Praise the Lord. It's not God that is doing that thing. It is that the publishers like gist. They like those kind of stories. The more gory, the better. And when you finish writing it, in fact, they'll start adding some legs and arms to it so that juice it up so that it can sell. But God is not pleased. There should be no record from your hands of that sin, because it's a permanent record. Hallelujah. You may tell someone, share your testimony. I was once in the thing that you're in right now, or that you're sharing to a group of people who have the same problem. Beyond that, don't keep telling us, writing a book, especially a book, is a permanent record. Praise God. Amen. So God has enabled us. He has qualified us. He has given us what we need to function in this life victoriously. Everything we need is with us, and we have authority in Christ Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. That's not going to change. When we got born again, we were born into this life. We were born citizens of the kingdom of heaven and sons in the kingdom of heaven. There's a mindset God wants us to have in the kingdom. He doesn't want us to feel inferior before him. He's given us a free gift of righteousness. And the same righteousness that he has is what we have. We're not any less righteous than Jesus Christ. The only place where there might be a difference is in holiness. But even then, his holiness makes us holy. And as we begin to separate ourselves unto him according to his word, he begins to make us, the Bible says that he that had this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. What is that? Everything that is unclean, I begin to separate myself. If you used to date a lot of women, you stop it and say, no, that's no longer my style. I'm going to leave it. If you're into adultery, you come out of it. And he says, touch not the unclean thing. Pornography, I will not touch it again. That's what you ought to do. And you will grow in that holiness. Praise God. Glory be to God. It says, as you were therefore, as you gave yourselves when you were an unbeliever, unto iniquity, hallelujah, unto sin, unrighteousness, unto iniquity, so now you should give yourselves unto righteousness. Now let's read it in Romans chapter 6. I read from verse 11. Let's start it from verse 1. Ah, wow. Our time is gone. Let's start from verse 6. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't yield your members. What does it mean, your members? Your hand is your member. Your eye is your member. Your legs are your members. Your head is your member. Your mouth is your member. Your whole body has different parts. Those are members. He says, don't yield them as instruments of unrighteousness. Let's even stop there. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. This was how I read it when I first got born again. Okay, I used to go to the parties and discos and all of that. And it says, don't yield your member to disco. So I kept my member at home. When my friends, in those days, they would come, she said, let's go, it's happening. I say, it's not happening. I'm now happening somewhere else. This body will not disco again. And if you're the type of kiss the girls and make them cry, just say, this member shall not kiss again until I marry. If you were somebody that when you get angry, you get anointed with a slapping anointing. You just say, this member shall not slap again. If whenever you get upset and you get you go out there and you buy a lot of spirits and you drink yourself to stupor, you say, this member shall not drink again. My mouth was not made for drinking. Hallelujah. When I did not know the Lord, you yielded your members to self-sin. He says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Hallelujah. Now, what is he saying? Now that I don't yield myself to the disco, I go to church. Listen, you must replace one bad habit with a good habit. You don't replace a bad habit with nothing. Otherwise, you may return to the bad habit. So I stop going to the parties. I go to church fellowship, to fellowship with believers. In the fellowship, there is dancing, because the body sometimes needs the dance, you know. You can feel the dance coming. Just go to church and do all the dancing you want. That's why when you see people going, bah, 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 you just enjoy it. Say, but Pastor, the music in church, that's why I try to educate the choir. Don't sing funeral songs. They kill people. Sing songs that show rejoicing. Hallelujah. That stir up joy in the people. Because remember, they were once in the nightclubs. In fact, In churches, especially in Africa, and among African-American churches here, you will see those ones who have been in the nightclubs. You know them when you see them. When the way they are dancing, you know that this brother has been somewhere. So you yield your members as instruments of righteousness. Rather than, you know, you go gather with the boys and you drink beer and all of that, and you drink until you forget your sorrows and you go home. That kind of thing. What do? You gather for prayer meeting. You yield yourself to the things of God. Yeah, there was a time when you read all the naughty books in the world. Now you set it aside because you're yielding your eyes to those things. You set it aside and watch and now buy Christian books to read. There are even Christian novels. But watch it anyway, because there are some people who say that they are Christians, but they are born again. So they edge towards darkness. Hallelujah. And you know what happens? As you start edging towards God, the strength to do it God's way continues to increase. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, I see something to you. You know, and the worst is pornography. Pornography is the mother of every evil work. I know they say the love of money is the root of all evil. Pornography is the capo di tutti capi of evil. That is the boss of all the bosses. Because from pornography, the world was polluted. Evil things. Child molestation. All those things started coming from there. Don't watch it. Don't look. What are they doing? It's not your business. Don't yield your members to watch it. You see, my eye is my member. I will not watch it. There are some people that are married, Christians, who want to stir themselves up, and they now, if you don't need it, don't stay yourself. they are watching it in their relationship. Something is wrong with it. You see, because you're filling your mind with the wrong thing. And sometimes it's the women that introduce it. And when you now introduce it to your husband, and she now, because once a demon comes in, he will be a demon. And then he will now start making him to, because lust walks in the same direction, walks the same way in every direction. That lady looks like the one I was watching that day. You need to stop it. You need to cut it. That's cut it off. Father, I saw one man. He said, when you want to repent of this kind of thing, he brought his laptop, no, his computer, put it on the floor, used a hammer. It was hammer. He hammered it to the ground. Probably as he washed it like Hillary Clinton. Just got rid of it. Hallelujah. And let me warn you, if you're overseas and you're coming to America, be very careful. Especially if your email is Yahoo. Yahoo email is a prostitute. Everything comes into it. Anything comes into your Yahoo mail. I'm not spoiling their business. I'm telling you what is going on. I'm Jennifer. I love you. My name is Jennifer. Can you talk to me? Everything. The worst is one, it calls itself a Chelsea something Viagra from Canada. Don't say, oh, they've been talking about this thing. What is, if you touch it, it will take you to a porn site. I'm just telling you, if you're coming from overseas, some of the things that you will see. Don't touch anything that you don't know. If it shows up, oh, I am this, just shift it to trash. In the trash, don't open it. If you want to, you see, don't delete it individually. Let me tell you how it opens. You try to delete it individually and it will open on your, and then other things, because it comes like a Trojan. Other things start coming with it. You now start seeing a chart coming up on your computer that you're not planning for. If you're a novice, I'm telling you what to do. You just came. You just seen all those things. Especially if you have Yahoo Mail. I had to leave my Yahoo peacefully and moved to Google, to what do you call it, to Gmail and AOL and all of that. I'm telling you, Yahoo is a prostitute. They may have changed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so those are things you need to set us. You need to, you know, and don't see, you know, you just came from over there and you see they say gentlemen's club. Don't go. There are no gentlemen in there. Hallelujah. Don't go. In fact, there was one I saw. I was driving by on a, you know, I was with my brother-in-law then, and I said, what is that? He said, you don't want to know. So we were driving by. Next time I was passing by, and I saw we have girls here and we have demons. Yes, on Orange Blossom Trail. If you're coming from I-4 this way, east, going west, and you get on Orange Blossom Trail, is on the left, Gentlemen's Club. If you're passing by, look at their board. Sometimes you see there, we have girls, we have drinks, we have demons. Is there? Don't yield yourself to such things. And the grace of God will rest upon you as you edge towards God. I like to be very practical. That's why I'm talking about these things. Cleave to your wife. And if you're living here, then your wife has been doing well here, and you want to go back to Africa, continue with the same conservative way that you have been doing things. Don't become a fool. Because it operates those way, both ways. The hunters there don't come through your computers, they are physical. The hunters here come through the computers. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. In fact, if you ask me, continue to live here all your days and travel there to have a holiday and come back. Because, especially if you're those kind of men that don't listen, even if your wife is holding your belt, you remove the buckle and leave the belt for her and go where you're going. Anyway, I've gone away from the thing I was talking about. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield your members servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death. You see, sin leads unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Hallelujah. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. You are now the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants, this was where I was going, to righteousness unto Holiness. Now, some people like to tell us that if it requires any form of action, performance, that that is the law. I've never heard such foolishness before. They are big men. The people who say these things are people, some of them I used to honor and respect. Because in this kingdom, we're not respecters of anything, of men, except God and his word. I respect a man as he honors God. Hear it clearly. There is Egon. Faith without Egon is dead. If you say you are righteous and the deeds of righteousness cannot be seen in your life, your righteousness is dead. I didn't say it from my head. It needs to be understood. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Who said it? John the Divine. He had stood with the Master. He walked with him. Bible says, he that believes in him ought to walk even as he walked. Is that not true? How can I now be a servant of sin and say that it is the grace of God? That once you are told, flee from every, you know, from free from youthful lust and fornication, since it requires a performance, it is the law. Who told you that? You are not being lied to. The devil has just preached his gospel to you. That's not the gospel. My grace is sufficient for you. When you are in a place of weakness and you go to God because of your limited understanding about some things, he will help you. If it is that you already know, you just walk away from it. You see your friends, you know, I was many years ago. Wow. My time is gone, right? Today's our communion service. Amen. But let me finish with this story because it's so vital. Do you know, I went for an interview in a bank that I wanted to work for. A lot of the people there were my friends. But one of the shareholders of the bank used to be my best friend when we were in school. He got born again once, and the Lord will bring him back. Now, at about 5 p.m., they closed and moved from, because there were two wings, they were about to start off the bank. And so there were two wings to this, there were two actually single family homes. And so they moved from one to the next. They said, let's go over to. I initially went until I saw vehicles. No, we're standing outside and I was talking to one of my friends, one of my former schoolmates, and we started seeing vehicles. Vehicles were coming. And girls were coming out, were coming down. He said, this is work after work. I said, with what ear would they hear it that one such as I was sitting inside that place? I say, I was redeemed from the power of darkness. Brother, I will see you later. I got into my car and fled. He's not born again. That particular friend I'm talking about, he said, that is the thing about you. You're an extremist. In those days when you were smoking, you smoked more than everybody else. You drag. You know, you're an extremist. We do things moderately. So look at you. You are reading the Bible. Now you have carried it to another realm. Go. I entered my car. I couldn't be bothered. I know the devil that he doesn't play. If you get in there, you can't tell what is going to happen. I drove home. Is it that they were the ugliest set of people in the world then? No. But I knew better. Kumuyi used to say something. He's a pastor of a very large congregation in Nigeria. He said, others may do it, but I will not. As a child of God, there are things you must not do. Every time somebody has a party, you are there. Whether it's in the night or day. And the young people, they have a pool party. I want to go. You know, my kids will come. Daddy, I want to go. It's a poolside party. I say, no. Go and sit down. First, I ask, is it in the day or in the night? He says, during the day. What kind of party is it? He says, it's a poolside party. No. If you ask me 2 million times, the answer is no. That's it. I'm grown up. Can I go? No. What's under my roof? No. Are you eating my food? No. Do you understand? It's very simple. I don't play with such things. You know, sometimes brethren come and say, I say, Pastor, we want to go to the beach. You know, just, you know, as once you tell me it's official, no. If you as friends are just going out, it's a different thing. But you come and tell me that we are going for beach party. No. When the bikinis start entering, no. It's true. No. Say, Pastor, we're spiritual. We don't take all those things. No. It's still no. Praise the Lord. We are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Do you understand? Oh, I've been strict enough that prom, I sometimes stop prom or one of the parents will go. So we're totally watching you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All those things may sound straight and overboard and all of that, but it keeps you safe. You know, once it was said in America, I don't know what the statistic is right now, that 1 out of every 4 people in America has herpes. You kiss them, you get it. It's incurable. They only medicate it. Next year, it will show up at the same time. Clockwork. Until God delivers you, you are not delivered. You know, those bankers I was saying that was doing that thing, a year later, Chevron was doing, please edit that. After now, I'm not even going to say what it was. Let's leave it in. Let's leave it alone. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we bring the communion elements? Let's rise on our feet. But just before we break bread, okay, be seated. Before we break bread, I want to give you an opportunity to give your lives to Christ. If you have not known Jesus as Lord of your life, or you had backslidden. You knew him once. You were zealous for him, but you backslid. There's hope for you in Christ Jesus. You who's the backslider, there's still a seat for you at the master's table. Don't throw away this opportunity. Don't say it's over for me. Don't say that. Let me lead the backslider first. I just want you to pray along with me and say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins that I have sinned against you. I know you did not take away your presence from my life. But forgive me, for against you have I sinned and did that which was not pleasing in your sight. Forgive me and receive me back as your son. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then I want you to say this after me also. Father, I thank you for forgiving me and for receiving me back in Jesus' name. That is it. Hallelujah. Now, if you have never given your life to Jesus, this is an opportunity to do that. So I want you to pray along with me. Pray after me. Mean it with all your heart. Say, Almighty God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I confess that I'm a sinner, living all my life in sin. Forgive me of all my sins. Receive me into your kingdom. I believe that Jesus is your son, that he's Lord, and that he died for me, and you raised him from the dead for my justification. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and personal Savior from today and forever. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer sincerely and you meant it, Jesus has come into your heart. And today, you become a child of God. Now, I want you to take a step of faith. This applies to both you and the backslider. If you have a Bible, I want you to read it again. If you're a backslider, read it again. If you're not a backslider, you just give your life, and you have a Bible, read it from the New Testament portion of the Bible. After you've read the whole of the New Testament, read the Old in the context of the New, remembering, bearing in mind what you read in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. The second step of faith you need to take is that you should join a church. Look for a Bible-believing, hallelujah, Holy Ghost-filled church, a church where they talk in tongues. And join. And they believe in healing. And join. Praise the Lord. Then, go out and testify that you gave your life to Jesus. At least tell three people. Because the Bible says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Go out and publish it. Say, Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, if you're sick in your body, we'll be praying with you in a little bit because we're about to take communion. I want you to get your communion elements if you have it by you, right there. If you're watching us, if you're joining us virtually, it's important that you do that. Get your element with you. If you don't have anything like that, you can get yourself some cookie and some, you know, grape juice. You can use Coca-Cola if you have one. That's still okay. Praise the Lord. And we're going to break bread. Hallelujah. If you don't have any of that, that is bread, just bread you have, take it. It's still fine. Hallelujah. But as you grow, get yourself some of the communion elements. It's very convenient. Has the juice and the communion bread together. That would be very good. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus is our Passover. He is our Passover. And so that when trouble comes, he passes over us. Hallelujah. Things that kill other people will not affect us. Hallelujah. Things that the devil has set out there it will not consume us. If he sets out a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. If he comes in by whatever trick, we'll discern it. We will. Because God is at work in us. He who lives in us is greater than the devil that is in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with tongues, it's important that you do that. Hallelujah. It's important. Because that is this all-sufficient one that dwells in us. That is the grace that is all-sufficient that is in us. He's a person. And we got him through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there is no grace. Hallelujah. That is the danger in trying to go to eternity by your own righteousness. You will not make it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you be praise and glory and honor. Can we...